yet another season of preparation that allows us to prepare for this holy year. It's a season set apart every year where we prepare for the birth of our Lord. And so I'm going to invite Mr. Dewey to come and speak to us a little bit more about how we can intentionally live out this season of Advent as we prepare for the holy year.
All right. Good morning. Hoping everyone can hear me fine. That's good. All right. Excellent. So who here has heard or celebrates Advent? Who celebrates Advent? You do? If your hand is not up, raise your hand because you celebrate Advent. You just may not know it. All right? So what is Advent? Well, we're going to journey through Advent this morning. So Advent is coming up. We're not quite there yet. I don't know, Mom and Dad are out there thinking, holy cow, we're already talking Advent, and we just had All Saints Day on Friday, and we're already talking Advent. Yes, yes, it's coming. I don't know about you all, but I always remember, as Father, like, Halloween's over, and I'm back home with my kids, and they're all on the floor looking at candy, and they're trading candy, and I look at my wife, and I just say, we're at the top of the roller coaster, and it's just, whoosh, Christmas, right? And that just happens. These 2 months go by so quickly that we forget to prepare for Christmas. We're doing a lot of preparation for Christmas. We're really busy during this time, but we're not doing the things that we should do to really prepare for Christmas. And that's what Advent is all about. So Advent is part of our liturgical year. So this is our liturgical calendar. You see, we're kind of here in November, and we're just right up against Advent. So this is the end of our liturgical year. Our liturgical year ends this year on November 30th. And the new year starts December 1st, which is the first Sunday of Advent. So what is Advent? Advent comes from a Latin word, Adventus. Does anyone know? Who here knows Latin? What Adventus is? What is it, Daniel? What's that? You forgot. Anyone not forget? It means a coming, a arrival. So something is coming. What is coming? You guys know what's coming? Jesus! You got it. You get the gold star. Jesus is coming. And so that's what we're preparing for during Advent. So Advent is, who knows what Advent is? How many weeks is Advent? Does anyone know? How many weeks are in Advent? How many? It's close to 40 days. It used to be 40 days. They kind of shortened it a little bit. But how many weeks, do you know? How many weeks do you think? 4. You got it. It's 4 weeks. See, you know what you're talking about. She said there's 4 weeks because there's 4 candles. And that's exactly right. We're going to talk about an Advent briefly here in just a minute. This quote from Pope Francis said, Advent is a time of waiting for our Lord who will visit us all in our own hearts. The Lord is coming. Let's wait for him. So that's what Advent is about. We know the Lord is coming, so we're going to wait for him. We're actually celebrating 3 things during Advent. We're tying ourselves to 3 events. The first one is the Jewish people's waiting in expectation for the Savior. Right? So we see in the Old Testament all these Bible characters, and they're waiting for the arrival of the Savior. So we're tying ourselves to them. We're also tying ourselves to Mary, who's pregnant and waiting for the baby Jesus to come. And then we're also tying ourselves to our present day as we await the second coming of our Lord. So that's what Advent is about. It's about the past, it's about the present, and it's about the future and our relationship with Christ. So there's 3 themes that we see throughout Advent. First one is hope. Jesus is the light of the world. And this is the time of year, like last night, what did we do to our clocks? We moved them back, right? So now it's starting to get to be the dark time of year. The sun goes down a little earlier. Used to go down like at 9 o'clock, like bedtime. The sun's still out. And now it's like, tonight it's going to be like 6 o'clock. It's going to start getting dark. So this is the time of year where there's more night than there is day. But we've got the light of the world, which is who? Jesus is the light of the world. So we're expecting him to come. The other theme is preparation. So we're called to examine our own hearts. Right? So there's something that you have to do during Advent, which is we're preparing our hearts for Christmas. I often tell people, like, we get to Lent a little easier. For some reason, we put a lot of emphasis on fasting, prayer, and almsgiving during Lent. But not as much during Advent. During Lent, we're really preparing for the crucifixion, the death and resurrection of Christ. Well, we should be doing that same thing for Advent, really preparing for his coming, doing the same things, prayer, fasting. Fasting is really hard in December, I get it. But we should be doing the same thing, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and preparation for our own selves for the coming of Jesus. And I tell people, you want to have a really good Christmas this year? It's not all about the presents you get. It's about what you do in here to prepare for Jesus. Yes. It is Jesus' birthday. We celebrate that birthday. That's right. All right. And then the final theme that we see, which is a little different than Lent, is we see this theme of joy and peace. So we are anticipating. So there's this anticipation building for the coming of Christ, right? It's a very cheerful, bright, fun time of year. But we don't want to lose sight that there's things that we should be doing to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. All right. So it's a time given to us, similar to Lent or Easter, to prepare ourselves for Christ at Christmas. All right, so it is the beginning of our new year. This year, the new year starts on December 1st. So it's Sunday, December 1st is the start of Advent. All right, so this is what you were talking about. So there's signs, there's symbols, there's things that we have that remind us about this time of year. And the first one, and probably the most visible one that we see, that's a change in the church on December 1st, will be the candles. We see the Advent wreath. Alright? So the Advent wreath is something that you'll want to have in your own home. If you don't have an Advent wreath, that's the one thing that you should have in your home during Advent. But it talks about these 4 weeks. Week one is focused on hope. Week two is on faith. Week three, that's the week we have what? That's joy. And what color is the candle that week? Pink! Rose, it's rose, and we see Father Bird and the deacons will be dressed in the rose vestments, right? Not the purple like they've been wearing. And then finally, we have peace in the final week of Advent as we prepare for Christmas. All right. So Advent goes back a long, long way. It goes back to the beginning of the church, and Advent actually used to be 40 days. It started at the feast of Saint Mark of Tours. Which is November 11th. And so that's a week from tomorrow. So you think a week from tomorrow, all the way from Christmas, that would have been Advent. And they shortened it a little bit to be 4 weeks as we go into Christmas. But what you'll see, there'll be a change in Mass. You won't sing the Gloria during Advent. So we kind of abstain from singing the Gloria. And then when Christmas comes, we'll resume singing Gloria and Christmas Eve, Christmas Day Mass. So we'll also see a change in our scripture readings. We'll read a lot more from the Old Testament, particularly Isaiah, Jeremiah, because why would we read from those books? Does anyone know? Or anyone out here know? Why we might read from prophets? Why might we read from prophets? That's right. What are they talking about specifically? What are they waiting for? That's right. The prophets talked a lot about the coming of the Savior, which is Jesus. And so we're going to read a lot of those scripture readings throughout Advent in preparation. And I think it's a good time for us all to kind of remember that there's been a lot of people throughout history who've been waiting for Jesus. All right. So what are some of the colors and the symbols? Who knows what are the two primary colors that we'll see during Advent? We'll see white, yes. What else? Yes, we'll see purple and rose, a lot of purple and rose. And so we'll see that in an Advent calendar, or Advent wreath. An Advent wreath is a circle, right? It's like a circle and represents eternity. And God's promises are eternal. There's also a greenery. You see that greenery, which this time of year, what's happening to all the leaves? They're falling. Everything's dying, kind of falling on the ground. And so we want that greenery to remind us of life. That's what the greenery on the wreath is for. And we've got four candles. And then the white candle in the middle. Who knows what the white candle in the middle represents? That's right. Jesus. Someone said it. Jesus. All right. So, in our house, we have an Advent wreath that we have, and we light it every night before dinner. So it kind of sits in the middle of our kitchen table. We have some prayers, and I'm going to send you all to a website. I'm going to mention a lot of prayers, a lot of handouts, a lot of different things. It's all on this website. You can go download and print and read all of this stuff. So I'll give you the address at the end of the talk. So don't stress out about trying to remember all this. It's all there, laid out by day on this site that you can get all this information. But there's a little prayer that we say before we do that. We light our candle every night. We pray a little prayer. It takes about 10 seconds to pray. So it's very fast, but it all reminds us in our home that it's Advent, right? We're still doing, we're still going here and there, and it's Christmas party here, Christmas party there, all kinds of stuff going on. But we've got to take time to remember what we're about this time of year, which is preparing for Jesus. There's also a Jesse tree. Who here has a Jesse tree at their house? Anybody have a Jesse tree? All right. I know you have a Jesse tree at your house because your mom told you you have a Jesse tree at your house, and you probably wouldn't recognize it if you saw it. But these are some Jesse tree ornaments. And so every day during Advent, you read a little Bible story out of the Old Testament that talks about, you recognize it now? We start with Adam and Eve, and we kind of go through Bible stories that lead us to Jesus, right? We see God's plan in action from the minute Adam and Eve fall, how God created this plan and purpose for us all through Abraham, through Jacob, through David, through all these characters in the Bible. And that's what the Jesse tree does. We hang a little ornament for each of these people on the tree every night and read a story about them that tells us about God's plan for salvation. Yes, you have a question? The Jesse tree? Oh, that. But see, that's fun. See, and so what he's saying is, his family, they don't have a wreath, but they make one out of Play-Doh and have fun that way. And I think if I have a message to you this morning, is find one thing to do different this Advent and make it fun. Make it fun for the family. Make it fun for your kids. Do something that's a little different, that sets you all outside of kind of the roller coaster ride that is Christmas. And we're going to go over a lot of different things that you can do. If you can just pull out one thing and do that and make it fun, then that's a big win for you and your family. So this is what a Jesse tree looks like. You hang the ornaments on it every night. And it could be, you could have a professional looking one, you can make one, or you can just go out and get some dead limbs out of your backyard and just hang it on there. Just don't make it complicated. Don't make it hard. Make it as easy as you can so that you'll do it. And if you miss a night, it's okay. Just skip it. Go on to the next night. We miss a few nights here and there. Kids are in this direction. We're in this direction. We didn't get our reading done that night. It's okay. Skip it. Move on. Don't stress about having to do five readings because you missed the last five nights. And also, we have an Advent calendar. Who has Advent calendars at home? Anyone have an Advent calendar? So that kind of, do you have that Advent calendar? Do you have anything in your Advent calendar? Chocolate. Yeah, that's good stuff. So it's kind of a countdown. And it's a way for us to remember that we're counting down to Jesus' birth. All right? That's kind of a fun way to do Advent. All right. Now, for mom and dad here, there's also a lot of prayers and devotions that can happen. And what I would encourage you all to do is find one thing that you can do as a prayer or devotion during Advent to help you and your family kind of get the most out of this time of year. The first one is the Oantiphones. And this is a series of prayers that have to start on December 17th and lead up to Christmas Eve. And so this is one you can do. Oops. So they're recited. There's seven of them, starting on the 17th. And you can sing them if you're a singing family. I'm not a singer. You don't want me singing, but if you want to sing them, you can sing them to the tune of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. All right? And it's just a series. You see how short they are. This is the one on the 17th. It focuses on wisdom. On the 18th, we're looking at Jesus as Lord. The next one, we're looking at the root of Jesse and kind of that promise that Christ has given us, or God has given us about Christ. The key of David, again, we're seeing a historical aspect of Advent. The radiant dawn on the 21st, King of Nations, another aspect of who Christ is. And then finally, Emmanuel, God with us. As we anticipate his birth on the next day. So these are short little prayers that you can do in your home the week before Christmas, just to get everyone's mind and heart ready to celebrate the coming of Jesus. There's also three prayers you can do: the Dear Heavenly Father prayer. You can bless your Christmas tree. Who here has a Christmas tree in your house? You have a Christmas tree? You don't have a Christmas tree? Okay, well, get your hands up if you have a Christmas tree. You can bless your Christmas tree. Christmas trees are fun to do, but we want to make sure we remember why we have a tree in our house. And then finally, there's a St. Andrew Christmas novena, and I've got a copy of that here. It's a very short prayer, and what you're supposed to do, and this is going to sound scary, but it's not, you pray, keep this at your desk, where you work, and you pray this 15 times a day, every day during Advent, and it sounds 15 times, I'm praying this 15 times. It's a short prayer, it takes maybe 15 seconds to pray. And it's a great thing, just throughout the day, to remind yourself about what's coming, what's important about Christmas. So that's the St. Andrew, and again, I'll give you all a link where you can download all this. All right. So in addition to Advent, we've got a lot of feast days and holy day, and one holy day that happened during Advent. The first one is St. Andrew. St. Andrew is November 30th, and that's where this St. Andrew prayer comes in. So you can do the St. Andrew prayer starting on November 30th on this feast day and go all the way through Christmas. And that's a great way to kind of get your Advent off to a great start. We also have Stir It Up Sunday. All right, what do you think that is? Stir It Up Sunday. What is that? Yeah. So what happened was, as Advent was approaching, people would kind of, and you're going into fasting, they would take some of the stuff that they had in the house that they couldn't have during Advent, and kind of make something out of it and kind of set it aside. So who's here heard of mincemeat or fruitcake? Right? So all these things that we hear about at Christmas, that's where this comes from. So you kind of take stuff like fruit and maybe a little bourbon or whiskey or some different things, and you kind of stir it up and set it aside and let it sit for a few weeks, and you've got something really yummy and tasty for Christmas. So that's what happens on Stirred Up Sunday. And that comes from the collect. So the collect on the week before, you'll hear Father say, O Lord, stir up the wills of thy faithful people, we beseech thee. And so that's part of the prayer that last week before Advent. So that's where this comes from. Who's heard of St. Nicholas? A lot of hands down front heard of St. Nicholas. So who was St. Nicholas? Yeah, so that's where Santa Claus comes. And what? Here's a thing that we can do that you probably aren't thinking about when it comes to St. Nicholas, but he was a confessor. So a good thing to do around St. Nicholas Day is what? Go to reconciliation. If it's been a while since you've been to reconciliation, this is a great time of year to do that. And around St. Nicholas Day is a great time to do that. Since he is a confessor, and a lot of times here at Mary Queen and parishes throughout the Archdiocese will have a night where you can come to reconciliation. I'm sure as we get closer, we'll announce that. But that's a great time to come to reconciliation if you hadn't been in a while. It's available every weekend here. But absolutely go to confession at least once during Advent. Alright. Who's heard of St. Ambrose? Not as known as St. Nicholas, but St. Ambrose. So, St. Ambrose kind of developed Lectio Divina. Is that something you all are familiar with? It's kind of reading and interpreting the Bible in a very educated, kind of thoughtful way. So it's a good time to kind of read. I'll give you links to four lessons that you can read during each week of Advent that kind of helps you center and focus during each month or each week of the month. And then one of the things that we can eat on St. Ambrose Day is honey. Why do we eat honey on St. Ambrose Feast Day? You know why? He had bees. So when he was a baby, his dad found him with bees all over his face. And they got all the bees off him, and he wasn't harmed. He wasn't stung. He wasn't swollen. Nothing happened to him. And so we have honey to remember that. And he was a very good, well-spoken man. And so we hear that kind of got a honey tongue, right? When he spoke, people listened. He was very eloquent. And so with your breakfast that morning, if you have some honey on your toast, or do something to remember St. Ambrose, who's a doctor of the church. And if you're Southern, if you're from the South, you can mix up a bunch of ambrosial salad. Usually that's something you might have in the summer, but you can have it this feast day, which is St. Ambrose. And then we have the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that's a holy day. So we're going to go to Mass on that day. All right? Who knows what that holy day is about? All right? Yes, December 9th. Yes. Who is the Immaculate Conception about? Mary. Mary, so it's not about Jesus. Sometimes we think it was Jesus, but it was Mary. And so, like, here's a coloring page you can have, and you see St. Anne. St. Anne with Mary in her tummy, right? So Mary was born without sin. And so you can learn about and read about that, about Mary and why that was important for her. Yes. No, that's the assumption. But that's coming up. That's Mary's assumption into heaven. We also have the feast of St. Juan Diego and Our Lady of Guadalupe. Yes? You're doing a play, right? Yeah, they're doing a play about that. This is a great day to remember Juan Diego and Our Lady of Guadalupe. If you've got the Talmud at your house to display that, you can do all sorts of things on that day. So some of the things that you can do at your house are read the story of Juan Diego. It's a great story. You can come see the play that the kids here are putting on. It's a great story. Display the tilma. And then decorate your house with roses. It's a great day. Husbands, give your wife some roses on that day. That's a great day to do that, because when he released the tilma, like, all the roses came tumbling out, right? So it's a great day to decorate with roses in your home. You can have chilaquiles for dinner, something fun and different at your house. We're going to skip to St. Lucy. Who knows what St. Lucy? The story of St. Lucy. Do you all know the story of St. Lucy? So she was a young girl, and these are my girls when they were real little. What we do on St. Lucy Day is we have cake, so we do like cinnamon rolls, but we kind of make them look like S's, put little eyeballs on them. So it's right after Halloween, so if you have candies, who has anyone get candies that look like this, that look like eyeballs? Why would we get eyeballs on St. Lucy Day? Does anyone know? She got her eyes gouged out. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you guys. So she was a saint. She wouldn't renounce her faith. So she was put on a stake and burned. And while she was burning, she was professing her love for Jesus. And nothing was happening to her. It wasn't burning. She was just professing her love for Christ. And so she was fine. So then they took a spear, got her in the neck to stop her from talking. But yet she was still able to proclaim for Christ. And then they tried to, they plucked her eyes out, but she could still see. And so that's why we remember St. Lucy with eyeballs. All right? So she had this amazing, but she used to take food down to miners, men that were in like caves and doing work, and she'd wear candles on her head and take food down to them. So we do pastries at our house for that morning. And you can see my daughter dressed up as St. Lucy at our house. St. John of the Cross, St. John of the Cross, there's a number of poems, readings, scriptures that you can read about St. John of the Cross. The site that I'm going to take you guys to, then we get to Christmas Eve, which is the end of Advent, the beginning of what season? Christmas. So we actually don't get to Christmas until Christmas Day. That's the start of the Christmas season. So a lot of people fill all Christmas out by the time we get to Christmas. But that's just the start, right? 12 days to go actually through this January 9th is Christmas Eve. And so if you're one of those families, if you take your Christmas tree down the day after Christmas, you're taking it down too early. You have to keep it up. You keep it up for at least 12 days after Christmas. Yes? You're going to California. All right. All right. Good deal. All right. So, let's get through this. Candlemas. The only thing I would say is for families, set aside some time for prayer, especially this time of year. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the holidays, right? It's so easy that we're here and we're there and we're busy, but it's so important for you all to take time for family prayer. Also think about what can we do as charitable acts during this time. There's no shortage of opportunities to help people during this time. In a week or two, we're going to hear about the angel tree. We're going to hear about adopting families. We're going to hear about the food pantry. There's all sorts of ways that we can help people during Advent, and we need to find at least one thing we can do as a family to do that. And then one of the things I'm doing this Advent is incorporating more silence. That's something I don't have enough of in my life. I fill every minute of my day with some sort of noise, whether it's in my house, music, or something while I'm working. And I think it's important for us to have times, especially during Advent, where we're just in silence. Go to adoration. Adoration is here, afternoon mass on Wednesday, and so I think 8 p.m. There's also adoration from 3:30 to 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. That's a great thing to do during Advent, to build that habit of going to adoration. And then find some personal time. I know moms are laughing at me at that this time of year. Personal time, right? But it's really important that you do that. Even if it's just 10 minutes, and I'm not talking about what you're already doing for prayer, I'm talking about in addition. Even if it's just 10 minutes to read something, to pray a little extra, to think about Advent. Because it's so easy to get burned out during Christmas time, during December, and to stumble into the holidays. It's so easy to do that. If we're not taking the time to nourish ourselves spiritually, we're going to miss the gift that is Christ on Christmas. All right, let's get through this. This is the site. If you go to livingthecatholicyear.com/Advent, it's a site my wife and I created a number of years ago where all these resources, prayers, devotions, we link to Jesse tree ornaments that you can print, download and print. So there's all kinds of things that you can get on that site that will help you through Lent. And like I said, even if it's just you find one thing that you can do, do that. Do that to make Advent that much more special for you and your family. All right, we're going to get everyone to Mass. So let's close out in prayer. Real quick, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have taught us that our lives have seasons. You have taught us that there are times to all of your heavenly purposes. Teach us to use these seasons to stay in your will, always, to be obedient to your word, to show others peace and love during this Advent season. Help us grow spiritually. Help us grow as a family. Help us grow individually and as a community here at Mary Our Queen. We are so grateful for your love. We are grateful for your Son. We are grateful for his gift of salvation for each of us. It is in your heavenly name we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.